Grand Rapids Symphony musician Paul Austin is one of Michigan's top horn players and a familiar face to fans of the Chamber Music Festival of Saugatuck, which concludes this week with concerts on Thursday and Friday nights at the Women's Club of Saugatuck. I spoke to Paul about the works on the program and asked for his thoughts on the 30th season of the festival.
I'm really excited about that. I actually led a social media drive in which I had posts weekly from past and future performers of the festival to talk about the good old days and also the future of the festival. It's really exciting. I don't think when the festival started back in 1987, when Elaine Ritchie was bringing some string students over from the North Carolina School of the Arts, because it's so beautiful here in the summer and inspiring, that it would continue on for 30 seasons. And in fact, I tracked down two of her sons for some quotes to put online about how thrilled they are that their mother's vision has continued and is blossoming to where it is today. You know, we actually have a board member, Joy Muhlenbeck, who is retiring this year from the board, but she in that first year was the house mother, because this was a type of situation where they would come and get room and board during the festival, and they would have master classes and perform at a church, and then Elaine would give concerts.
One of the things I learned from talking to Drew Lee, who's co-director now of the festival, is that while some things have changed, a lot has stayed exactly the same. You know, the glory days are pretty much the same as today.
I think so. The good news is that they've added air conditioning for the concerts. I remember when that happened a few years ago, the audience and the performers were elated that now we have air-conditioned comfort in the Saugatuck Women's Club, so that's exciting. Something I'm very happy about that maybe had been lost over the years that we've returned to is that three summers ago we started a master class series so that area students could play for the artists, and that was sort of going back to our roots, because Elaine Ritchie bringing students over and providing those classes was an integral part of the early days, and we look back to that, and we've had two tremendous classes, and we're about to have one this Friday with Wendy Rose at 10:30 a.m. And as a free master class, she'll be coaching some bassoon and French horn students in chamber music pieces.
Your frequent partner in crime.
Well, you know I adore Wendy. She's just terrific, and she's just not just a dear friend and a great person, but she's a wonderful musician and apparently a great teacher. She's had students win international competitions, and she's just very inspiring, and I know the students are going to really enjoy having the chance to be coached by her and their music.
Well, what have you been up to in the last year since we last talked?
Oh, my gosh. What have I been up to? Well, I play in the Grand Rapids Symphony and also the Chamber Music Festival. You know, I'm working. I'm on the board, and it's a working board, so everybody has a job, and my job is the educational component. So I've been happily working on that, and I've got private students I'm very proud of, too. So several hats are worn.
Mm-hmm. I can't believe we're already talking about the final concert on the season. It's gone by pretty fast. Do you have some favorite concerts that you attended that you will remember?
Yes, absolutely. The second week of the Chamber Music Festival, I played on the first half. I played the Mozart Horn Quintet, which is one of my favorite pieces. But then I was able to go into the audience for the second half, and there was just an amazing, important piece of chamber music by Johannes Brahms, the String Quintet, Opus 111. And I know the piece, but I've really never heard it live. And that was such a tremendous performance by my colleagues in the Grand Rapids Symphony at the Chamber Music Festival.
Well, I can't wait to hear it and maybe share it with the listeners on WMUK. Again, the Chamber Music Festival of Saugatuck presents concerts on Thursday and Friday nights at 7:30 p.m. And it's a cash admission. You can buy tickets in advance, I think.
Right, at the website, saugatuckmusic.org, and it just has a big icon, click here for tickets.
Well, let's get to the final program of the season. And
you're going to be really proud of me, because this is one of the few times we've had an interview, and I'm ready for all three pieces, not just the several I play. So,
You know, Paul, I was really ready to let it slide, because, you know, for some of the pieces you don't even perform on.
On the pieces I don't perform, I usually try to sort of make it up and say it's an easy piece to dance to, but not today. I am ready.
Okay. Well, why don't we begin at the beginning with this four 2-bit contraptions for flute and horn?
And it's composed by Jan Bach. And this summer, the festival's had a number of female women composers, Gabriella Franck and Fanny Mendelssohn and Libby Larson. Well, Jan Bach is not one of them. I know Jan Bach, you think Jan Brady, perhaps, but Jan Bach is a man still alive, and he was actually a member of the U.S. Army Band when he wrote this piece. So he wrote this piece in the 1960s, and he was in the D.C. area in the Army Band, and believe it or not, one of his private students had just gained entrance as a music student at the University of Michigan. So he wrote this piece specifically for her as a thank you, good luck, as a horn major at U of M, and her roommate was a flute player, and so he wrote this piece for the two of them. Now, they never played it. From what I gather, the flute player went on to be a professional musician. The horn player sort of gave up and is now a high school English teacher, and from what I understand, Jan Bach wonders if the horn part of this piece might have been a little too tough for her and just was too discouraging.
So it is a tricky piece to play.
Have you played it?
Oh, no, no. And I don't, I can honestly
say. We should get together sometime and do this because I know you're a flute player.
I can play some flute, but I'm not in your league, Paul.
Well, it's in four movements, and because it's just the flute and the horn, they're very brief movements because we do need to rest and breathe and all those things. And the first movement is called Second Lieutenant, and this is you get the image of a lieutenant, you know, in full uniform, you know, marching. And then at the very end of the movement, you get a feel of what this guy, when he lets his hair down, what he's really like. And then the second movement is a calliope. This is sort of like the instructions are for the horn player to play with all the grace of an elephant. And I am trying to do that to the best of my ability. And the third movement is something that some of the listeners might remember LPs or Dino Discs records, because it's called Gramophone, and it has that great moment when the record gets stuck, because a lot of us might remember. Do you remember?
Do I remember? Do I remember?
Dead silence.
Do I remember?
Yes, exactly. Click. And then the last movement is called Pinwheel, and it's those things you blow and they go around really, really fast. The music is extremely fast tempo, and the instructions are, by the end of the movement, the player should be breathless.
What fun instructions, as opposed to Allegro or Largo.
Right. Yeah, who needs that stuff? Yeah, we're going for that good American stuff. We're going to leave you breathless. And it's going to, my partner in this piece is actually Gabe Southard. And an interesting note about Gabe is that not only do we both go to University of Cincinnati, just at different times, but we share the same birthday, May 25th.
Well, a great way to start the program with a four 2-bit contraptions of for flute and horn, and then you do get to take a break, as does Gabe.
Gabe is on duty. Gabe is on call for the whole first half because we next go to the Mozart Flute Quartet. So, Kara, tell me, why did Mozart not like the flute so much? That's what I understand.
I'm sure it had nothing to do with the sound of the instrument, but maybe the personalities of the players.
Now, Kara, you being a flute player, what do you mean by that? A shift of roles here.
I think flute players...
Control the interview now.
You'd have to ask Mozart, but sometimes flute players can be a little anxious, and maybe they want good music for their money. I don't know.
You know, it is funny because the first movement, when I hear it, it does have a little bit of an anxious quality. If, you know, it could be relaxed or it could be anxious. That's really, really a nice insight. I'm so glad that you had a chance to chat with us today about that. Wonderful.
This is very weird, Paul. Back to you. What can you tell me about the flute quartet?
The flute quartet, okay, so it's for flute and strings, three movements, fast, slow, fast. One of Mozart's earlier pieces, Kreutzfeld 285, and it's It's going to be a lovely performance.
And finally, the big work on the program is Schubert's Octet, which I know you've played many
times. Oh, just sit back and get comfortable. I've got a lot to say.
Okay.
I was really lucky when I lived in Kalamazoo that I was awarded one of the Gilmore Emerging Artist Grants. And that was in the mid-1990s. And that allowed me to study in London. And I studied with a natural horn artist by the name of Anthony Halstead. And I was there for a full month, and it was daily lessons and observing his rehearsals and concerts. And the main piece he was rehearsing and performing was the Schubert Octet. So that was my first introduction to hearing the piece. I knew the piece existed because I had read about it. I mean, growing up in rural Tennessee, I didn't have a lot of opportunities to go to a lot of live chamber classical music concerts or even chamber music. But I was able to read a lot. And so, you know, if you can picture it, my older brother, you know, we're in the living room, we're all reading because my mother's a librarian, so we all had to read. So older brother's reading Mad Magazine, mm-hmm. and my older sister's reading Tiger Beat. And I'm just sitting back reading The Art of French Horn Playing by Philip Farkas, of course. That seems to make a lot of sense. And Mr. Farkas talks about practicing this piece called the Schubert Octet. And I just thought that must be a really important piece for Philip Farkas to have that on his practice chart. It's something he always looks at. And so when I went to London for that study, I was able to discover the piece and the beauty of it. So when I got back to the States, I started really pushing colleagues to program it, to say, I really want to perform this piece, not on the natural horn, but on the valve horn, just to be able to carry over a lot of the things I'd learned. And the very first time I got to play in the Chamber Music Festival of Saugatuck in 2001, that was the piece I got to play. So that piece has been played 16 years ago. It's long overdue to be heard again at the festival. And it's just a tremendous piece. I always blow students away when I tell them of my five top composers, Franz Schubert is one of them. And they sort of look at me quizzically, different like horn concertos or horn sonatas. But I just think he's a terrific composer. I think it has his gift of melody just can't be touched. Mm-hmm. It's just so lovely, and it's in the Romantic era, but it's hard to describe the feeling I get when I play or hear Franz Schubert's music. I have been known to pull the car over if I'm driving and listen to WMUK if you're playing something by Schubert.
For people unfamiliar with it who may know some other Schubert, I mean, is this closer to symphonies or sonatas or like the Trout Quintet? It seems to live in this strange space between full orchestra and chamber music.
Completely. I mean, if you just think of length alone, the piece is about an hour in length, the full CD. But if you think of the Schubert symphonies, they're not that long. I mean, maybe the last one, the great one, seems to be a little lengthy. you have eight performers, you have five strings, you have two violins, viola, cello, bass, and then you have the clarinet, bassoon, and the horn on this piece. So the writing does seem to be advanced chamber writing, or you could say early symphonic writing, but it's multiple movements. I think there's six movements altogether.
So that doesn't follow the pattern of a symphony, but it has the grand scale.
Exactly right. And in fact, I mentioned my teacher, Anthony Halstead's rehearsing and performing this. His group had just recorded it at that time in the 1990s. And the name of his group at the time is House Music. And that really says a lot about maybe the intention of the piece and the course of that time when the music, you know, really wasn't so much at a sit-down concert, but really intended to be, you know, music played in someone's home as, you know, at a social gathering.
The term serenade was a popular term and a popular form of music where you can collect a lot of movements together under one umbrella and possibly, you know, denote that this is more of an entertainment piece than a serious symphony.
Well, a few years before this, Beethoven had written a septet. And there's no real indication that this was as a result of that, but maybe just to be able to say, well, I can do one better than that, Beethoven. I'll see your septet and raise you into an octet.
Have you left anything out about the octet?
Audiences will love it. It's just the melodies, and you can follow the form along very well. There's a theme and variation movement that's quite charming. And I think that after an hour, that piece will also leave the performers breathless. Getting back to Jan Bach.
Well, congratulations on being part of the 30th season of the Chamber Music Festival of Saugatuck, and onward and upward in the future.
Exactly. Exactly right. Here's to 30 more.
Horn player Paul Austin will perform in the last two concerts of the 30th season of the Chamber Music Festival of Saugatuck this Thursday and Friday. Details at saugatuckmusic.org.